Where he is holy. Holy, holy, holy. This is holy ground. I'm weeping because I'm in awe of God that we can enter in to the Holy of Holies and be in his presence. Just soak in his presence right now. Nobody can do it for you. We live in a society that just wants to move and move, but this is the place that I like to stay. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, Lord, we worship you. We honor you. Worthy is the Lamb. You are worthy. You are worthy. You are worthy. You are worthy of all the honor, all the glory, and all the praise. Oh, hallelujah. Oh. Oh, Lord, we just lay it all at your feet. Have your way in this place, Lord. Have your way in each of us. We surrender all we are. Come and change us. Oh, Lord, rearrange us. Whew. Oh, Lord, have your way in this place. Have your way in each of us. Oh, church, just surrender. Ha. I feel the Lord. He wants to rearrange some things, but you got to surrender it. Whew. Oh, hallelujah. I feel the Lord dealing with you about some things right now. Just tenderly showing you things. Write them down. Hold on to them. Don't forget them. Because he always shows us things for our own good. He doesn't show you to condemn you. He shows you so that you can find the better way. He has better things for you. Ha, ha, ha. Oh, hallelujah. In his presence is fullness of joy. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, Lord, we praise your holy name. We glorify, we honor you. Oh, Lord, we praise you. Hallelujah. You are good and your mercy endures forever. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for who you are. Thank you, Lord, that you saved me. Thank you, Lord, that you set me free. Thank you, Lord, that you healed my body. Woo! Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, the goodness and mercy are following me. Hallelujah. Woo! You got to give a shout, church. Thank him for what he's done for you. What has he done for you? Because he's done all those things for you too. All you got to do is just open your mouth and praise him. Ha ha! See, your mouth, your words that you speak, it's your weapon because you're not taking defeat. You're not taking what the enemy tries to tell you you have to take. No, I am victorious. Thank you, Lord, that I'm an overcomer. Thank you, Lord, that I'm victorious. Thank you, Lord, that I am righteous. Hallelujah. Woo! Hallelujah, hallelujah. Are y'all awake today? Hallelujah. Come on, give the Lord a shout. Hallelujah. Woo! Hallelujah. Now I heard y'all shout better than that. Come on now. Woo! Hallelujah. Do it from your belly. I don't care if you don't feel like shouting. Have it from your spirit. Tap into your spirit because where the spirit of the Lord is, there is joy. Woo! And God is here right now. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Woo! Hallelujah. I know what it is. Y'all are just basking in his presence too. I get it. Ah, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I'm going to let Michaela, we weren't sure. Michaela's going to do the offering this morning. I'm going to let her come forward. You can be seated if you want. Lord, have your way in this service. I thank you, Lord, that you are here. Here you go, sweetie. Let me get that out of your way. Welcome online. Thank you.
Good morning, everyone. Glad to see all your smiley faces and those online, too, even though I can't see your faces. I assume you're smiling. So, tithes and offerings. I love preaching on it, teaching on it. I found out I was doing it last night, so bear with me. So the fundamental scripture we'll be using today is found in Proverbs 3, 9 through 10. And it says, honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of all your crops, which is income. Then your barns will be abundantly filled and your vats will overflow with new wine. And that's the Amplified version. Honor is such a wonderful word used in the Bible. And we can honor the Lord in every way, especially in tithes and offerings. We're going to apply this scripture today. And you might be thinking, oh, I hear this, and I apply it, but what's the outcome? And, you know, people will say, like, I'll believe it when I see it. Well, I'm going to show you, because I have a testament to share of this scripture and how I applied it to my life and how good the Lord is. So in the beginning of January, I decided to sow a first fruits offering. And the backstory to that is I wasn't feeling fulfilled at the job I was at. And I was obedient. I went. But in my heart, I was grumbling and complaining, and my heart wasn't in it. And the Lord convicted me on that. And in 2 Corinthians 9:7, and I'll be reading out of the Amplified, it says, "Let each one give thoughtfully and with purpose, just as he has decided in his heart, not grudgingly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver and delights in the one whose heart is in his gift." And the Lord convicted me that I needed to change my attitude in my workplace. And it was rough, but I accepted the conviction, and I went to work cheerfully. And I gave that offering out of a cheerful heart. And after I gave it, I said, "Lord, it's in your hands." And I went about my day, and I didn't go looking for other jobs, because I was content where I was at, because I knew the Lord was with me. And then the beginning of February, I went into a store for my birthday. And as I was checking out, the manager who works there looked at me, and she's like, "You should come work here. You would be great here." Mind you, I've only met this lady twice in my entire life. So I don't know about you, but I was like, this has to be the Lord for someone to randomly tell me that I should come work at this store with only meeting me 2 times. And I thanked the Lord for it, and I pursued it. I said, "Lord, this has to be you." I put my faith into action. And I contacted the people, and last week I got accepted the job. And I'll be starting in a few weeks. But the amazing thing about this is the fulfillment I was looking for. I have a history in retail, and I loved helping people. And at my current job, I wasn't doing that, but I was at that current job for a season. And at this new job, I'll be helping people. And that's the fulfillment I was looking for, and the Lord knew my desire. The second amazing thing about this testimony is I went into the interview with a number in my head of what I was hoping to get paid. I didn't even tell the owner. She gave me the exact number I had in my head of what my starting price would be. I mean, that's God. It's the highest paying job I've ever had. He takes you to the next level. So this is speaking to you, which it spoke to me. There's no words to describe it. But here's what you need to know. As you press in, not even tithes and offerings, that's just where I applied it, in every area of your life, he's going to take you to the next level. Now, Miss Kelly is going to put up here the ways to give. And there's a lot of ways, and I've never had this screen up here before, so I'm assuming y'all can read. You can do Venmo, mailing, texting, online. I do online. It's great. It's easy. Trust me, it's good. But as you get your offering and your tithes ready, I want you to reflect on what the Lord has done in the past. Because remember that feeling of what he did for you. And then apply that hope to your future. Because that's what I did. When I put that testimony in, that first fruits offering, I'm like, "Lord, I thank you that it's in your timing. I'm going to reap a harvest." And that's what the Lord did for me. And do it with a cheerful heart. That's where it's at. The Lord loves you. That's what you have to remember. When you put your tithe and offering today, say, "Lord, I know you love me. I'm the head and not the tail. You have good things for me in your timing. I commit it to you, and I'm going to go about my day cheerfully because I know there's a harvest for me." So, ushers, if you could serve the people, thank you. He has great things for you. There's nothing too big or too small, whether it's gas money you're believing for or money for a mortgage or debt. The Lord has everything you need. And he's going to give you abundantly above all that you can ask or think so you can bless other people. Dream big. Because when you hear God, your dreams will come true. It's not some flaky little saying. With the Lord, all things are possible. So as you put your seed in, remember that he has good things for you. Amen. Thank you, ushers. So you just want to bow your heads. Lord, we just commit this offering and these tithes to you. Lord, I thank you for the faith that's being planted in this, Lord. Lord, I thank you that these people have put their hand to the plow and that a harvest is coming. Jesus, I thank you for it. I commit it to you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Praise God. You know, there's nothing like a testimony of what you're believing for, and then you see it happen. And she was like going to share the testimony. I was like, well, you just need to do the tithes and offerings because, you know, you're taking the principles of God, and what he did for one, he'll do for another. He's no respecter of persons, you know, and I think that we get caught up in, we make it so religious, but it's just very simple. And, you know, when she came home that day and said, they just offered me a job, I'm like, well, that was the Lord, because she wasn't looking. You know, blessings are looking for you. Do you know that? Yeah. Blessings are looking for you. Come on. I used to hear that and think, well, that's a little conceited. No, but I'm going to show you today in the Word of God where that says that. Because, I don't know, I gave Kelly a title for this message, but I don't know if it's the right title. I get on Pastor David, does it line up? And I'm preaching it, and I'm like, wait, maybe that's not the right title. But here you go. Victory is here. Amen? Yeah. Victory is here. But really what the Lord was having me, you know, I listened to Pastor's message last week about choosing the right path. And I was like, yes. And all these things are spurring in my head. And then I was like, okay, well, I've chosen the right path. What about you? Have you chosen the right path? Have you chosen the life of God? Have you chosen Jesus? He is your path, right? Yeah. Amen?
Amen.
Oh, Lord have mercy. Yeah. Do I have any believers in the house this morning? Yes.
Yeah.
All right. That means you have chosen the path of life. You are on the right path. Praise God. So now what? What's on this path for you? You know, and that's what was spurring me last week is what is on this path for you? Because, yes, we have to choose the right path. And here's the thing. You have to choose to stay on the path. Amen?
Yeah.
You know, the Lord was showing me this morning on the way over here. I'm telling you, I preached myself drunk this morning before I even got here. So I'm just trying to keep myself together because I was singing and shouting and I was worshiping in the Holy Ghost. You know, you got to build yourself up before you come to church. You can't just walk into church and be like, oh, I'm going to get it when I get there. No, get yourself built up before you get here and just enter right in with everybody else. Amen. So, you know, I was thinking about this. Now I'm going to get ahead of myself. I don't know why I try to write notes. You know, I go over these notes and you can see they're like written over and then I get up here and it's like, bam, just gets all out of order. But, you know, blessing and overflow are yours.
Yeah.
Amen?
Yeah, mine.
You know what's not in your vocabulary? Defeat.
Yeah.
Oh, Lord. Is defeat in your vocabulary?
No.
Oh, y'all almost sounded convincing.
Yeah.
Is defeat in your vocabulary?
No.
No. You must know that defeat is not in your vocabulary. Why? Because Jesus said that he overcame the world and that you're an overcomer. So if you're an overcomer, you can never be defeated.
That's right.
Before you chose the path of life, you were defeated. Do you understand? But once you chose the path of life, you're no longer defeated. There's life and death, right? Jesus is the way. When you chose him, you chose life. That is what you have. You have life. You are no longer defeated. You know, the moment that you accepted Jesus, you went from a sinner to a saint.
Yeah.
Come on. You went from defeated in death to victory in life.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
You went from a nobody to a somebody. Hallelujah. That's who you are. You got to understand where you are. And you're like, well, Pastor Lacey, I know all of this. You know, I know all of it too, but sometimes we forget. And we need to be reminded. Because we live in a world that is pressing us on every side. But we're not of this world. So we don't have to take what this world throws at us. Because we're not of this world. We're ambassadors of Christ. We take our orders from a higher place. We live by his rules. He's watching over us. Not this world. Not the government. The government is not watching over you. And I'll try real hard to stay away from it. But I want you to understand something. I don't care what this government does. I don't care what they say they're going to do. It does not matter because you're not of this world.
Yeah.
Your hope, your finances, your healing does not come from anything in this system. It only comes from above. But it's where are you putting your trust?
Yeah.
So really what the Lord was saying, forget not your benefits. Now I'm way ahead of myself, I'm telling you right now, so just know. And Kelly, I'm so sorry, Kelly, because I know I'm going to be all over the place. 1 John 5:4-5. Go here. And I want you to write these scriptures down, because if you forget, you're going to go back to these scriptures. When the enemy tries to come and tell you the opposite, you're going back to these scriptures and saying, no, this is who I am. Because you know why we forget our benefits? Because we get caught up in our feelings and our emotions and what the world says. We talk to our worldly friends and they say, well, you know, when you get older, this happens. No, that's not my lot, because I serve God. And he said he's going to take care of me and I'm healed of the Lord. So I'm sorry that the world says that, but that's not for me. Oh, Pastor Lacey, that's so conceited. Do you know what I've been saying since for about probably, I don't know how many years? Most of you know I was completely healed from lupus. But long before that, I kept saying to my husband, every time I had to go to the doctor, all the injections, all these things we went through, I said, my latter years, I said, you may get old, but I'm not. Because, yeah, because the enemy stole my younger years. And what the enemy stole will be restored.
Yes.
Come on. And now I'm realizing, wow, I'm walking in it. I have more energy than I had even when I was 21. I don't have the pain that I used to have. So my latter years, y'all better look out. You think I was feisty before? Wait, just wait and see what's happening. Because this is what the Lord's saying. But I realized, you know, I was just confessing it because I was getting angry. You know, I felt terrible, but I just kept saying it. And I realized, wow, it's all really coming to pass. Because life and death are in the power of your tongue. So what are you speaking? So in 1 John 5, everybody there?
Yes.
I'm not. Okay, 1 John 5:4-5. For whatever is born of God. Who here is born of God?
Amen.
Okay, if you're not, I'll tell you a prayer. Who here is born of God?
Yes.
All right, great. I better see everybody's hand. Whatever is born of God is victorious over the world. So who's victorious over the world? Me.
Yes.
Come on. And this is the victory that conquers the world, even our faith. Who is it that is victorious or that conquers the world but he who here believes in the Lord Jesus Christ?
Amen.
Amen. Who adheres to, trusts in, and relies on that fact. That means I'm victorious. That means you're victorious. So when you feel defeated, you feel like, I just don't know how this is going to go. Wait a minute. I'm victorious, so it's going to go well. Because God is with me and he is in me. Do you understand? All right, great. 16:33, John 16:33. Let's go there. Anybody ever feel defeated? If you feel defeated, you need to go there and say, no, I'm not defeated, I'm victorious. Because your feelings will creep in. But we're not, thank God we're not moved by our feelings. Amen?
Amen.
I'm going to have y'all shouting before the end of the day, but I'm not going to be moved by my feelings if you don't shout, but it's okay. I'm so excited, I want to run up and down the aisles. Because see, as I read the word and I know who I am, man, it's like, whew, I can't sit still, because then it's like nothing's getting me down because I know what the Word of God says. That's where we need to be. And I think one of the reasons this message was so important is because I feel like there's this heaviness that tries to come on believers right now, that they're feeling defeated, that they're feeling like a little hopeless and getting frustrated. I'm like, yeah, that's not God. He doesn't do that. We need to remind each other about who we are. We need to remind each other, it doesn't matter what this world is saying. We are already victorious. We've already won.
Yes.
We're not defeated.
Yes.
I have a lot of benefits, and we're going to talk about these. In John 16:33, I have told you these things so that in me you may have perfect peace and confidence. In the world you have tribulations and trials and distresses and frustrations. Yeah, you're going to have those. Well, what does it say? But be of good cheer. So instead of reveling in the distresses and the tribulations that everybody wants to revel in, oh, you don't know how bad it is, and blah, 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 whatever, okay? It says, but be of good cheer.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, I tell you this all the time. Our pastor in Oklahoma, Pastor Robbie Endian, if you're like me and love Greek and you're a Greek scholar and geek and everything, you should listen to him. He's really good. But he always said, you know, when things go bad, go bake a cake. So in my house, anytime something starts getting weird, my daughter or my son will say, we need to go bake a cake. And that's what we do. We're going to go bake a cake. Count it all joy. Count it all joy when you fall into these things. Because I'm not defeated.
Yes.
So I don't really care. Do you understand?
Yes.
I don't really care. I know Pastor tells me all the time, stop saying you don't really care. I do care about you. I don't care about the things the enemy tries to throw at us. I don't care about the religious people that will say to you, well, that's just the way it is. No, that's not my lot. Sorry. Amen. Not sorry. It doesn't have to be your lot either. Right? Why do people like to talk about misery but not the good? Why is it that people, you go talk to somebody about how sick you are, oh, they'll just sit there with you all day. Oh, it's okay. I've been there. But you go to them, well, hey, I've got the answer. And they don't want to hear it. Why? Do you know how many people I've told in the doctor's office, by the way, I was healed from lupus, and they look at me like I have five heads. And I'm like, wouldn't you be excited about that? Like, seriously? I don't understand it. I don't, anyway, that's probably a whole nother sermon. You'd be excited because you know that's your benefit too. Amen? Right. So it says, for I have overcome the world. I have deprived it of power to harm you and have conquered it for you. Amen. Did you conquer it? No. But the one who did lives on the inside of you, and you carry his authority and power. Yeah. Woo! Hallelujah. Y'all can get up and shout and jump with me. How does that not excite you? That's on the inside of you. That means nothing can touch you. Yeah. Nothing can touch you. Yeah. Come on. Nothing. See, when you stay on that path of life and you know this is my path, like actually, no, you all know I love like Narnia and all those things, but I had like the yellow brick road in my head this morning. So I know CG's like, oh dear Lord, it's okay. Yeah, the yellow brick road, and you're on that path of life that is goodness. But you know, the enemy comes on the sidelines and wants to whisper things in your ears. That's exactly what he did to Eve. Nothing is new under the sun. He comes as an angel of light, okay? But when you know what your benefits are, you're like, you better back up. You're not getting me off this path. I'm not even going over to listen to your whisperings. I can't hear you because I refuse to listen. Amen? Amen. Amen? We'll get there. It's okay. All right. So say this. I will not be taken out. I am an overcomer. I'm not overcoming. I already overcame. Come on, you got to see yourself that I've already overcame. I am already victorious. Yeah. You know, the world will say, that's very conceited. You're just like everybody else that has issues. Yeah, but those issues don't affect me. Yeah. They don't affect me. I don't care what the world tries to throw at you. When the world, listen, they told me not long ago, you know, I'm pretty sure we may have to do another back surgery. I said, that ain't happening. You can tell me that all day long, but that's not happening. And I've been speaking to those discs in my back. You better line up and grow new. But you know, the old me would have said, well, if I need to get the surgery. See, I compromise. And I'm not against you if you compromise, but I'm telling you, I've been there, so I understand. And then all of a sudden, after that second, I've had two back surgeries, by the way. Second back surgery, I said, I am never. Nope. It's not happening. And every day I'm speaking to those discs, you better get lined up with the Word of God. Because they have to. That's the whole thing you don't understand. We compromise because we get feeling bad or we see other people do this and maybe that's okay for me. No. If I'm healed, I'm healed. Yes. I don't need to go to the doctor and have him fix me because I know Dr. Jesus and he already fixed me. Yeah. It's a lie of the enemy. Yeah. And then I have to fight the right thing. Right? Yes. All right. So you no longer walk in your old ways. When you chose the path life of Jesus, you instantly went from sinner to saint. Amen? Who's a saint in here? Amen. That is not conceited to say that. That's saying, thank you, Jesus, that I am no longer a sinner. I am a saint because it's what he did for you. It'd be like if your dad gave you something. I don't know what, but something. Everybody has different things they like. Maybe it's a cow. Maybe it's a gold ring. Maybe it's a farm. I don't know. You would show everybody because you'd be excited. Yes. Right? Yes. Some of you, yes, you would be excited about that cow. Some of you would not be excited about the cow. But whatever it is that would excite you, you would want to show it off. Well, he made you a saint. Yes. That's like, this is who I am. This is my identity. This is who I am, because if you see yourself as a sinner just saved by grace, you're going to keep sinning, but you're no longer a sinner. You're a saint. Yeah. Woo! Hallelujah! In 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, who here is in Christ? Y'all are getting a workout with your arms today. I'm sure that looked really good online. Great. He is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Stop getting hung up in your past. When you receive Jesus, you're a new creation. You got to renew your mind, but that's not who you are anymore. If you used to be an alcoholic, you're no longer an alcoholic. Come on. If you were the biggest cheat out there, you're no longer the biggest cheat. You change your ways. It's not who you are anymore. And stop trying to walk in that. Stop trying to put that old stuff back on. It's like putting wet socks on. It doesn't feel very good. Put on the new. Put on the new. And walk in it boldly. Woo! Hallelujah. I'm getting so excited. All right, here's my main scripture, I think. I don't know. Woo! Hallelujah. If nobody else gets preached happy, I am. So we're good. All right, good. Thank you. This is what really came to me this morning. Psalms 103, 2 through 5. This is going to be my main scripture because this is what I felt the Lord saying. And this is why I was like, I don't know what my title is about. It could be the victory is here. It could be don't forget your benefits. And so the Lord just kept downloading stuff to me as I was driving here. So I'm hoping, I'm like, Lord, bring it all back. Bless the Lord, all my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you, which that word crowned means surrounds you. So he surrounds you with loving kindness and tender mercies. Yeah. Amen. Ha ha. Woo. That right there. Hallelujah. Who satisfies your mouth with good things. So when bad things come out of your mouth, is that the Lord? Nope. Because he satisfies you with good things. So that your youth is renewed like the eagles. So if you've been feeling old and tired and wore out, you should be speaking the good things because that will renew your strength. Amen. I was looking at that this morning. I was like, well, there you go. He says he will. There's so many times he says he's going to renew your strength. So stop saying I'm getting old. Cut it out. And start speaking the good things of God. And say my strength is renewed. Amen. Come on. Yeah. You see where we've compromised and just let things come in? And there's life and death in the power of the tongue. And it says, forget not his benefits. And I got thinking about this because my friend just got offered a job. And she was telling me that they haven't told her what the benefits are. And I was like, well, that's crazy. They should totally tell you the benefits before you take the job. But I was like, you know, we didn't have to know the benefits when we accepted Jesus because everything he gives us is good and perfect. Everything he gives us is more than enough and abundant. But why does it say forget not his benefits? Because we must forget them sometimes. And you know what else I was thinking about? Forget not his benefits. When you have benefits at a job, you usually have to apply for like days off to get paid. You don't have to apply for any of his benefits. They're already there. They're here. All you have to do is just receive them and grab onto them because they've already been prepared for you. They're just sitting there waiting for you. And I got thinking about it. You know, at a job, people were like, well, I'm going to bank my vacation days. I just don't want to take all this. Guess what? Your benefits never run out. There's not a number on them. Woo! They're unlimited. So whatever you need, you just keep pulling. You just keep pulling on those benefits. And what about people that are like, well, I just don't feel like using that benefit. Oh, my gosh. Come on. The benefits of heaven. Do you know how many people say that? Well, I mean, this sickness isn't really that bad. Yeah, but it says he heals all your diseases. So why do you want to hold on to it? Why? I don't understand. Why do you want to hold on to lack when God said he has abundance for you? I want all the benefits. I'm pulling on all the benefits. I can't pull on them for you. But what I realize is there's so many benefits and people aren't pulling on them even though they know about them. And I'm confused by that. What is that? I'm really like saying pondering. I don't understand why people don't want to pull on them because they're there. There's this lie from the enemy that I'm not worthy enough to receive it. No, you're worthy because you have Jesus. Again, lie that has to go. Well, this sickness really isn't that bad. Any sickness is bad because it's not of God. And it says he heals all your sicknesses and all your diseases. Yeah. So there's nothing I should be holding on to. Okay? Amen? All right, great. So the first thing was, we're on this path. We have access to the Father. The veil has been torn. This is one of our benefits. We have access to the Holy of Holies. And maybe if you don't understand the tabernacle, you don't know really, what does that mean? And I'm just going to give you like a tidbit. I'm not going to go into it all. But I realize that sometimes we talk about things and people don't even really understand them, so they don't mean as much. But in the Old Testament, there was a tabernacle. And only the priest, the high priest, could go into the Holy of Holies. And there was a veil there. And he went in to make atonement for the sins of the people. He took the blood sacrifice in. But when Jesus died on the cross, the veil was torn in two from top to bottom. Hallelujah. And you don't have to go through any priest or anybody else to go into the Holy of Holies. You go right into the Holy of Holies yourself. That's your benefit. You know, I saw something the other day that said, Christians don't have a personal relationship with Lord. They just have a relationship with each other to talk about God. I'm not doing that. Oh, come on, but somebody better preach, because it's true. Because everybody wants to talk about God together, but are you going into the Holy of Holies yourself? If not, you're missing out on a benefit. You're missing out on that benefit of going into the Holy of Holies, coming boldly to his throne. And I got a scripture for that, because I started saying scriptures, but I don't. You know, my words are nothing, but go to the word of God. Because the word is alive and it changes things. Amen? In Matthew 27:51. And the other reason it's important to go to the word is because sometimes we hear things that have been twisted. And so I have to go to the word and say, you know, I think I know the scripture, but let me find it. Let me make sure it's what I think it is. Because that's how we rightly divide the word. Matthew 27:51. Then behold, the veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. The earth quaked and the rocks were split. Woo! I love that. And the graves were open. I could just read and read and read because the word of God is so good. In Hebrews 4:14. Let's go there. Hebrews 4:14. And as I did it in the Amplified. Inasmuch then as we have a great high priest who has already ascended and passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession of faith in him. That's part of staying on the path. Lay and hold fast our confession and faith in him. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to understand and sympathize and have a shared feeling with our weakness and infirmities and liability to the assaults of temptation, but one who has been tempted in every respect as we are, yet without sinning. Again, a benefit. He understands everything you're going through. Nothing you have is like, well, this is just too minimal. Listen, I have things in my own life that I'm going through that I'm like, Lord, I do not understand. I need help. And he understands. And he's there to help. Nothing is too small or too big for him. Whatever it is. But you must go to the Holy of Holies and let him help you. And it says, let us then fearlessly and confidently and boldly draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in good time for every need. But you know, it says, let us fearlessly, confidently, and boldly come to the throne. There's something in that. You can't come like you're a beggar. See, you're no longer a beggar. You're an heir. Yes. When you got on that path of life, you become an heir. This is what you have a right to. And you have to come like, you know, if you had a good dad, you knew you could go to him and ask him anything. An earthly dad was even much more with your heavenly Father. What is it that you're not asking him for? What is it that you're afraid to ask him? He's like, why are you afraid of me? You don't need to be afraid of me. He is your everything. So that's part of your benefit, going to him fearlessly, confidently, boldly coming to his throne room. And just saying, Lord, I need you. I need help in this area. In Matthew 21:21-22. And we're going to go back to the New King James. I think we forget that we have that open door to come into the Holy of Holies. Or maybe we have never exercised that. Because there's a time to set aside and just enter into his presence. And it's such a sweet presence. And you have access to it any time you want. You have it. It's yours. You don't have to wait for someone. You don't have to wait to come to a prayer service. It's yours. That access is yours all the time. So Jesus answered and said to them, "Surely I say to you, if you have faith and do not doubt," who here has faith?
Amen.
Amen. "You will not only do what was done to the fig tree, but also if you say to this mountain, 'Be removed and cast into the sea,' it will be done. And whatever you ask in prayer, believing, you will receive." That's part of your benefit. Oh, but you know what? You have to ask and you have to believe. There's a part to exercise your benefit. You have to go and ask in prayer. People are like, "Well, I just hope the Lord takes care of that." Did you ask him?
Yeah.
That's part of your benefit, that you can ask and you will receive. And you should expect to receive. Amen?
Amen.
That's your benefit. You know, if you know what your benefits are and you're not using them, are you wasting them? And you might be living a life that you really don't need to live. He's got something better for you because he has a benefit for you. So what is it that you're not asking for? Your unsaved child? Your marriage? Oh, well, Lord, I don't really know what to do. And you know, sometimes, yeah, Pastor talked about it, asking amiss. You know, asking for your marriage. Are you praying for your spouse? Are you praying for your heart for your spouse? Are you praying for your heart? How can I reach my child that's unsaved? Whatever it is. But don't just pray the Lord will smite them. He doesn't do that anymore. He works on their hearts, okay? You have love for that person. And then you trust the Lord to work it out, not you trying to work it out. Come on. The Father hears your prayers and answers them. In John 16, 23. Let's go there. Oops. Wrong thing. John 16, 23. "And in that day you will ask me nothing. Most assuredly I say to you, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you. Until now you have asked nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive, that your joy may be full." I think Pastor talked about that a little bit. Ask and you will receive, that your joy may be full. How many of you have not felt very joyful? Oh, yeah, nobody wants to raise their hand about that. That's okay, I won't look. Okay? You know, when it says, ask and you will receive, that means obtain. You will obtain it, is what the word says, that your joy and your gladness may be full, complete, and perfect. So if you're asking and you know you're going to receive it, you should be glad and joyful. Why are Christians depressed and sad? You must not be asking. Because he says when you ask, you're going to receive and your joy will be full. Why are we afraid to be the most joyful people on earth? I'm not afraid. And people talk about you and they say you're so, my dad always used to call me Pollyanna. That's what he would call me. But I'm joyful because of the Lord. Do I have issues? Sure, we all do. It says we're going to have tribulations. But because I have peace and my joy is full and complete in him, I can just be happy. So what's keeping you from being happy? Maybe you're stuck on your circumstances, but you don't have to be. Because it says if you ask, you'll obtain, that your joy may be full and complete. And your gladness, literally your happiness. In 1 Peter, and this one's not in there, 1 Peter 3:12. "For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous." Who in here is righteous? Amen. "And his ears are open to their prayers." So say this, the Lord's ears
are open
to my prayers.
Amen.
Amen. "But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil." If you're not doing evil, he's not against you. I don't understand that either. People get like hung up like, well, the Lord is just going to. No, the Lord is for you. He is for you. He is not against you. You are righteous. That's the other benefit. When you chose life, you became righteous in him. Amen. Matthew 17, 20. Let's go there. So Jesus said to them, "Because of your unbelief, for surely I say to you, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, 'Move from here to there,' and it will move. And nothing will be impossible for you." Haha. Another benefit. Nothing will be impossible for you. Maybe impossible to the world, but it's not impossible for you. It says, what does it say? If you have faith, you will say. So if you have unbelief, it will be impossible for you. Because your unbelief took you right out. Because you were trying to do it in your own power. But if you have faith, nothing will be impossible to you. What? And I was thinking about that, and I was like, you know what? We believe way too small. Because we always look at what we think we can get done. Like, I feel like this could work. I think we could make that happen. Well, then you're not even in faith. So what is it that you're believing for? Are you believing for this city to be shaken? Yes, there's things you need to do. We need to go out on the streets and we need to share Jesus. But we're just going out to be his vessels. The Holy Spirit is who convicts, not us. We just go out and share. But whoo, can you imagine? Ha ha, I'm telling you, I'm like trying not to run. You all don't look like you want to run, but I want to run. So I'm just trying to keep it together. But my joy is full. My joy is full because I know all the benefits that God has for me. And everything, even this past week, things that have tried to get me down. All of a sudden this morning, I was like, nope, that's not my lot. Nope, that's not for me. Because I know who I am. I know what the Word of God says. So all these things that have tried to come against me, no, I won't receive them. They're not for me. I'm not getting over and to worry about that because it's not for me. Because with God, nothing will be impossible. And if God has spoken it to me, what is God speaking to you? Ooh, that might be why it feels impossible. You have to know what is God speaking to you. And when God's speaking it to you, have you asked the Lord what he wants you to do? Because the benefit of that is when you're serving the Lord, he has to make the way. All you have to do is step out. You know, New Freedom Church, we're believing for a land and a building. The world would say, that's impossible. Ah, you don't know my God. With my God, nothing is impossible. Nothing is impossible. You know, when we started New Freedom, the Lord said, all you have to do is do what I tell you and I will build the church. Yeah. It's on him. People have come to us and told us all kinds of things to do and these classes they want us to take. I'm like, if the Lord didn't speak in it, I'm not doing it. Because then I have to keep it. And I'm not doing that. Have we gotten over into that? Sure. Do we all get over into that? Sure. It happens. You repent and you go back. Lord, what are you speaking to me to do? What are you speaking? Because with him, nothing will be impossible. Listen, I have visions of people in my family getting saved. And the enemy wants to say it won't happen. But with God, nothing is impossible. I have a vision of my back completely brand new. I have metal in my back, by the way. And I'm like, I see that back and it has no metal in it. And I'm believing God. Because with God, nothing is impossible. Man can tell me it's impossible. Listen, the doctors still don't believe me when I say I'm healed from lupus. We were just at a doctor the other week. And they said, you were healed from lupus? Well, it must. I said, no, I was healed. You know, my rheumatologist has finally given up, and she just says, yeah, I don't know how else to explain it. I said, well, that's the Lord. Praise God. I'm not going backwards. But see, the enemy on the outskirts of your path is like, well, they say that's not possible. And you have to say, shut up, enemy, because it is possible with God. Amen. No matter what the doctors have told you, you don't believe that report. No matter what people have told you about your children or whoever else. You know, that's why going soul winning the other day, there's so many people that have written those people off. But with God, nothing is impossible. How many testimonies, if you go to Bible school, you'll hear tons of testimonies of people that were drug dealers. They were the worst of the worst. But God got a hold of them, and now they go out and win souls, and they minister to people, and people change. But so many people said, that's impossible. They'll never change. Never say someone is a lost cause, because with God, hello, Saul, have you heard about him? God didn't see him as a lost cause. Come on. You know, I don't know how I got on that, but praise God. Hallelujah. With God, nothing is impossible. That's how I got on that. Amen. And I'm telling you, I see in the end time, and I know I keep saying this, but the Lord keeps reminding me because I have to keep checking my own heart. I'm telling you, in this end time harvest, the worst of the worst are coming into the kingdom. The worst of the worst are coming. And you better be ready for your heart. Oh, yeah, everybody will shout. Oh, yeah, they're coming. But what about when they come and sit next to you in church? What about when they come and they want to minister to you? Where is your heart? Because nothing is impossible with God. And you're going to have to make a choice right that moment that you see what God is doing, just like the early Christians had to do with Saul. They did not trust him, right? But I'm telling you, yesterday when we saw those counts on that people's face change, I'm like, man, I'd drive a bus over here and pick every single one of them up to bring them here. Amen? And you know, I used to think that's crazy. Why are you going to drive 40 minutes to go get some of those other churches? Well, I don't know what those other churches are offering. But we're offering all Jesus has for them with freedom. No religion, no binding them up. We're offering them everything that God has for them. And I don't know what everybody else is offering. So, you know, that's why kingdom work together is going to be important. That's the other thing. I see an end time harvest of the remnant church coming together and working together. I also see a falling away. It's going to happen. You're already seeing it. People that are not in the spirit, you're already seeing it happen, and they're turning the religious people. Blah, blah, blah. I don't really care about them. I can say that. I don't really care about them. I don't care about that because I know that we're going full force ahead, and there's other body of believers that are coming with us going full force ahead that have a kingdom vision, and they're going after souls, and they're going to give the full word of God, and people are going to get set free. Hallelujah. But you know, you're not going to go get anybody set free if you're not set free yourself. You got to know your benefits. You got to know your benefits so you're not putting anybody else in bondage. You got to be totally free from that. Because with God, nothing is impossible. Say with God.
Nothing
is impossible. My situation is not impossible.
It's not.
Amen. Amen. You're like, well, I don't have any situation I think is impossible. Well, praise God for you. But there's some that do. With men, it is impossible. With God, All things are possible. Here's the other thing. When you're on that path, you are protected. I am so tired of hearing Christians say, sorry, I get a little spirited here, that, well, you know, that's just not wisdom. But then you don't know that God is protecting you. There are things that you're going to do that don't look like wisdom to anybody else. But when you know that God is telling you to do it, some of you have left jobs, moved. We've been there, done that. Everybody tell you that's not wisdom. Well, that's not man's wisdom. But I'm going with God. And you know what's not wisdom? To not do what God tells me to do. Because that's going to be a lot harder. So I am protected no matter what anyway. Because in 2 Thessalonians 3:3, it says, but the Lord is faithful. Amen. The Lord is faithful. Hallelujah. The Lord is faithful. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen? Amen? That's the other great thing. Your benefit package doesn't change. Ha-ha! Woo! Sorry, I get so excited. Your benefit package doesn't change. Never runs out. They never go, well, this is costing too much. We can't give that. No, your benefit package is always the same. And here's the other thing. You don't have to negotiate for a benefit package. He's got the same benefit package as me. You have the same one as me. I have the same one as you. That's what it says. He's no respecter of persons. So what he did for one, he'll do for another. Maybe you have an incurable disease like I had, lupus. Just because the Lord healed me doesn't mean he won't do it for you. Guess what? He's got enough healing for you just like he had for me. You see? It doesn't matter. Just like even Michaela's testimony about the favor of God, the same favor of God that's on her life is on your life. All you have to do is pull on that anointing and say, Lord, I know that this is for me. I know that you have good things for me. But I want you to hear something in her testimony. She had to get her heart rate. Right? Even for my healing, I had to say, Lord, I'm so sorry if I've put trust in the doctors over putting trust in you. Because that's real easy to do. Nobody wants to talk about that as a Christian. Nobody wants to talk about that in America. And I'm not against doctors and nurses. I have some in my family, and I love them very much. I'm not against that. But when your trust gets over into them and not into the Lord, that's where the problem is. And so you have to check yourself and ask yourself. And literally, most of you heard the story. I was literally sitting in a conference, a minister's conference, and the Lord just said, you're healed. And I'm like, okay. I stopped all my medication. I do not recommend doing that unless, let me give you a disclaimer, the Lord should tell you what you should do. Okay, and ever since then, everything is like 2-3 years. I don't even know. And so, but the Lord, you have to hear from the Lord, and you have to walk in it. But the Lord is faithful, who will establish you. That word establish means strengthen and make firm. You don't have to make yourself firm and established. The Lord will do that for you, and he will guard you from the evil one, meaning he will protect you. So say, I don't fear. Because I'm protected. Yes, amen. So whatever the Lord calls you to go do, whoever he tells you to go speak to, you can do it.
Yeah.
Say, I can.
Because the Lord
is with me.
So
what is the Lord telling you to do? Yeah, like I told Pastor David, I want to go in that tent city. I'm going to tell you what, right now, 3 years ago, I would not have told you I was going in that tent city. But I'm like, I'm going. I want to go. And the Lord will be with me. Listen to Pastor Tim has shared a testimony multiple times about being on the street in some city, and these guys wanted to kill him. He was sharing Jesus, and man, just instantly everything changed. See, when the Lord is with you and you're trusting him, It has no problem. You have no problem. It's when you get over into your head. This is why you cannot forget his benefits. Don't forget his benefits. Let me see. Romans 14, 17. I think that's where I want to go. Yes, thank you, Lord. What did I just say? For the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace, which is harmony, and joy. And that actually is talking about joy caused by the Holy Spirit, in the Holy Spirit. For he who serves Christ in these things is acceptable to God and approved by men. Say, I am accepted. By God.
Amen.
Amen. So righteousness and peace. I need to be flowing, though, in righteousness and peace, which is harmony and joy caused by the Holy Spirit. Oof, I know. I can't get off that joy. Man. Hallelujah. Maybe everybody else's joy looks different. I don't know. But, whew, hallelujah. Hallelujah. In John 14, 27, let's go there. Here's the other thing I see in a lot of believers right now. And I'm like, this is not your lot. And it talks about this in 1st or 2nd Timothy, I haven't been given a spirit of fear. There's too many people. People get fear. Fear is anxiousness and worry. But that's not your lot. That's not part of your benefit. Your benefit is peace. So when you receive anxiousness and worry, you're taking something that's not yours. It's not yours. You're not supposed to have that. It's not for you. And notice it says that I haven't been given a spirit of fear. So people get all worked up with us. Well, you know, some of us just have fear. Well, no, that's a spirit, and it's not for you. You're not supposed to have a spirit of fear. It can't attach itself to you because it's not of God. In John 14, 27, it says, peace I leave with you. Oh, I think I have it in the Amplified. Peace I leave with you. My own peace I now give and bequeath to you. So see, when Jesus ascended, he gave us the Holy Spirit, and he's giving us his peace. So when I'm feeling anxious and worried, something's off because I have the peace of God living on the inside of me. So I'm not trusting God. I'm not tapping into my full benefit because I shouldn't have any worry. Well, Pastor Lisa, you just don't understand. I don't have to understand because I know what the Word of God says. See, that's what you're saying when people say to us, well, you don't really understand my situation, and I'm not against you because I've been there too. But what I'm going to tell you is, God does understand your situation, and yet he still says he has peace for you.
Yeah.
So you can talk to him about your situation and why it's hard, but he still has peace for you. Do you see? This is where we get mixed up in our heads. Well, my circumstance is different. No, the Bible says there's nothing new under the sun. You still can walk in peace no matter what it is that you're going through. And that peace is having the peace of God. It says, not as the world gives do I give to you. Do not let your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. God wouldn't tell you that if he didn't have the answer. So he's saying, don't let your heart be troubled. It says in the end days, men's hearts will fail them. Your heart doesn't have to fail you. You know, there's a lot of people worked up about all these things that are happening in the world right now. But you know, to live, I'm going to totally scramble that up. To die is gain. I know where I'm going. To live is Christ, to die is gain. I'm not saying I'm wishing for that or anything. I'm not telling you that. But I'm confident in where I'm going. I'm confident in the peace of God. I'm confident in what he has called me to do. And I'm going to have peace. You know, they're talking about a financial collapse. I don't really care. Elijah had the ravens bring him food. That's the God I serve. He'll make a way for me. So I can't, if I get caught up in that, it'll take me right off that path of life. I'll be caught over in the bushes, in the thorns, right? Because then I'll be caught up in all the worries and the cares, and that's what gets you all entangled. But you need to make a decision today. I'm using my words and the Bible, which is like a sword, and I'm cutting all those branches off. I'm getting back on this path of life, and I'm going to run on this path of life because it's clear. And I'm not getting entangled with the lies of the enemy. I'm staying right here because I know what my benefit says, and I know that the enemy can't touch me. He can whisper things in my ear all day long, but I don't have to receive them. If Eve would have just said, no, right? No. And you can, listen, you even Jesus gave the word and the enemy had to flee, right? Every name must bow to the name of Jesus. It says you will cast out demons in his name. So when the enemy tries to come at you with lies, all you have to do is have the truth to shut it down. But if you forget your benefits, that's where you get overtaken. But the enemy can't overtake you. This is what you need to know. The enemy cannot overtake you. And even if you've let him, just say no, go. And he has to flee in the name of Jesus. That's one of your benefits, that the demons have to flee at the name of Jesus. That's who you carry on the inside of you. In Matthew 6, let's go here. And let me just say this. It says, let not your heart be troubled, which means anxious. Neither let it be afraid, which is timid and fearful. Nothing in the world should you be afraid of, because you're not of this world. And it said, Jesus said he has already overcome the world. So you have too. It's all a smokescreen to try to get you to do things. Don't fall for it. What is the Lord speaking to you to do? What is it? And I know I keep asking that question, but I feel the Lord is saying that to somebody. What is it that the Lord has said to you? Don't compromise. Don't back down. Do it. And put that demand on the anointing. Lord, this is what you called me to do. If I've got my heart not right in it somewhere, something's not right, show me, Lord. But I know that you have the provision and you have the way for me. And maybe it seems absolutely absurd to those around you. It doesn't matter. You're just answering to him. And you're trusting him. He will make the way. What is it that he's speaking to you? You're like, well, the Lord doesn't really speak to me. Okay, but yes, he does. That's another benefit. He does speak to you. You do hear from God. Get into the Holy of Holies. In Matthew 6:25, and you all know this scripture, but I'm going there anyway, because I think we need to remind ourselves, because sometimes we worry about even the smallest of things. And we don't need to worry about them. I have a friend, and they were talking about it. They were really in a bad place, and we've been here too. I have multiple stories about this, actually. You know, of course, when we were in Bible school and we had left everything, there were times that we didn't really have money for groceries and all these things. I have another friend. They were, like, pressing in, and they were just doing what the Lord said, and they had literally zero money for food. And every day, somebody would just show up on their doorstep, not knowing, because they never told anybody. And not knowing, somebody would just show up with food. They just kept trusting the Lord. They kept trusting the Lord. And you're like, well, aren't we supposed to have overflow? Yeah, but there are times of trials, but you still trust the Lord. And my uncle and my great uncle in Bible school, they were down to like, you know, $5 or something. Or no, they were down to nothing. My aunt had made a pie. And I think at that point they were living in Florida. And they set the pie out on the windowsill, kind of like you see in the movies. And somebody walked by and smelled the pie, gave him $5. And after that, because they had three kids with them at that time. And, you know, they went and bought something. And after that, everything just started changing. But literally, the simplest of things God will take care of. When my kids were little and we did not have a lot of money to go buy them clothes, I just would sew their clothes all the time. I would just get bags and bags of clothes. And we reaped bags and bags of clothes. We would just always end up with clothes coming back our way. My son, literally, I don't want to shame you, but my son, I did not go buy clothes for until last year when he finally, nobody else was as big as him. And then he about had a heart attack because he didn't know how much clothes cost, because we had never gone to buy clothes for him before, because we always had hand-me-downs. And they were good hand-me-downs. And I would just finally say, stop looking at the price. The Lord is going to provide. It's all good. Everything is fine. I'm going to buy you clothes. But, you know, he had never... And he was probably thankful that he never had to go shopping for clothes. The only thing I ever had to buy him was suits, because the people that would pass down to him, my man, he doesn't like it as much now, but he will when he goes to Bible school. He loves suits. And finding suits for like an 8-year-old was never fun, I'm just telling you. But the Lord always provided. But, you know, I just decided, I'm not telling anybody I don't have money for clothes. I'm just going to start selling them, and the Lord will bring it back. And he always did. What you sow, you reap. You know, and you think, well, I'm telling you, my kids got good clothes. It was good. We had bags and bags full of clothes. People were like, do you know how much money you can get for those clothes? Yeah, but it's not worth it. Because I see the blessing as I received, and I want to sow that to other people. You know, you start paying for other people's meals, you'll never go hungry. Because you just keep reaping meals. Come on. You sow kindness, you just keep reaping it. Another benefit of in the kingdom, you reap what you sow. What are you sowing? Sow the word of God. Sow the word of God, and you will see it produce. You will see people that are changing. Whew, Matthew 6:25. No, yeah, 6:25. Amen. Therefore, I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body and more than clothing? Man, there's a whole scripture, there's a whole sermon in that. People are very caught up in all that stuff. Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Which of you by worrying can add one cubit to his stature? I'm telling you, when you start worrying, you get on the edge of that path where you're going to just slip and fall over into the weeds because you can't keep your eyes here because you're so worried about what you don't have. But start looking at what you do have. Start saying, Lord, I thank you that you have all the food that I have need of. Lord, I thank you that you have the clothing I have need of. I thank you, Lord, that you have every provision that I should have need of because he already has it for you. So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown in the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. There's nothing for you to worry about. All as you seek God, as you seek him, all these things will be added unto you. All of it. You know, even when we went away to Bible school, I was really, really close. I have a really large family, and I was sad because we were leaving everything behind. And I felt the Lord say, I got you. And literally, the Lord would just send grandparents to my children, aunts and uncles to my children. There would just be all these people that would love all my kids. And literally, when we left Pennsylvania, actually, we were with my great aunt and uncle there. My son cried. He was little. He was really little when he cried. He did not want to leave because those were his grandparents. He didn't even want to come. Oh, Lord, I hope my parents aren't watching either. He didn't want to come home because that was his family. Those people there, that's all he knew. But the Lord provided and made a way. That's why here at New Freedom, Kingdom Family is so important to us. You know, because we're all family. We're a kingdom family. We have the blood of Jesus. You're in the family, right? When you accepted Jesus, you're in the family. You're family here. It's important. That's the other benefit. When you enter in with Jesus, you get a whole family right away. A whole family right away. Amen. The kingdom of God. Some of you are like, well, I don't want that family. Now, come on. Please. It's the kingdom of God. These people are your brothers and your sisters. I understand. Listen, your natural family, you didn't get to choose. I guess this family, you didn't really get to choose. God gave you all them too. But you know what's great about that? No matter where you go, you have family. Now, I'm from the Eastern Shore, so from here to like Trap, I have family every 5 minutes. But once I get out of the state, I don't. And you know, wherever you go, like I can't tell you how many people that we've met and you instantly feel connected to them. That's the blood of Jesus. Like instantly you're like, whew, you're my people, because it's God. He's uniting us. Amen? Amen. Amen. Okay. Last part of your benefit here. Goodness and mercy are following you. Psalms 23, 5 through 6. Because I hear people say, well, you know, I just don't know if that's going to happen for me. And I guess it just irritates me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Actually, I just heard Pastor Ronnie say this the other day. People are like, I can't go in and sit and eat. All these people out here, you better go in and get fed. He already made a table for you in the presence of your enemies. You don't need to be worried. You get to go right in the midst of your enemies. We live in this world who looks at us as an enemy, by the way. And we get to go right in and dine and eat.
Yes.
You see? When the world is like falling away and things aren't going well for them, they should be looking at us. How are these people healed? Think about the Israelites. Their clothes never wore out. There was never any sickness among them. That's who we are, God's people.
Yes.
Come on.
Yes.
They should be looking at us like, how are you prospering right now? Oh, because I'm a daughter of the Most High. That's my benefit.
Yes.
How are you when they, thank you, Jesus. Ha ha. Ha ha. When they take all the doctors away and you can't get there, how are you healed? How are you not sick with this virus that everybody else has? Ha ha, because I'm a daughter of the Most High God. Because sickness can't touch me. Do you see? Do you know how many places I've been lately that are in COVID outbreak and blah, 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 and I just go, no problem, I'm immune. Oh, you're vaccinated? No, I'm immune. You can get that or you don't have to get it, but I'm immune because I have the blood of Jesus. But I don't go in fearful. I want you to know something. I don't go in like, oh, but no, I go in, oh, Lord, don't use that picture.
Don't be in fear.
Don't be in fear. I think that might be vanity. I don't think that's fear. I don't go in like, I hope I don't get it. I go in and I say, those germs can't touch me. You're not listening to me.
Yeah. Come on.
You're not listening to me. Every time I go to the doctor, I don't know why I'm so hung up on healing. I think healing is the biggest place people compromise. Amen. Every time I go into the doctor, they say, well, I got to know your history. And I tell them our history. Michaela and I are the only people in our whole entire family out of a lot of women that have no thyroid condition. They say, well, we keep testing. I said, no, you don't have to. We're never going to get it. You don't have to worry about that. It's not going to touch me. You see? You see, that's really strong. No, see, I have the DNA of Christ. I have the blood of Jesus. And it says when he went on that cross, he took all sickness and all disease. Yeah. This message is not to condemn you if you've walked in that. This message is to empower you to say, that is not my lot. That sickness is not my lot. And so I will not receive it. I will not. When they tell me, well, there's all these people that have COVID. If you have fear, then don't go there because fear opens the door. Yes. But if you say, listen, it was the nursing home, and you're not keeping me out of the nursing home. You need to understand something. I have a whole church in the nursing home. The Lord did it. I'm not, yes, you are going to keep me out of the nursing home. He's laughing. I said that. I am not going to a nursing home for myself. I'm going to the nursing home to minister to other people. Yeah. Is that better, Nathan? Okay. So, and every day I preach to the people in the nursing home exactly how I'm preaching to you. Yeah. I say to them, sickness is not for you. And they grab hold of it. Do you see? Sickness is not for you. If you're sick, how can you do the work of God? If you're concerned, look up John G. Lake, the bubonic plague. He held it in his hand, and it died in his hand. Why did it die in his hand? Because he knew who his God was. And he needed to go out there and minister to people. And how many people? I would love to know that because I don't know the statistic for it. How many people were healed because he went out? He went out, but had he been afraid? Jesus, hello? Do you know about leprosy?
Yeah.
Where did you ever see Jesus say, I'm not going to touch a leper? Where did you ever see Jesus say, I'm not going to pray for them? No! He prayed and they were all healed. Yeah, I don't know why I'm so hung up on sickness. People need it. Because I'm telling you, what's coming to America is you ain't going to get to the doctor. And then you got to make a choice. Oh, am I just going to lay down and die? No, I shall live. So start believing God right now and put your faith in him. Whatever, I want you to lift your hands right now. Lift your hands. Lift your hands. You can put some music on. That'd be great. So whatever. Lift your hands right now. Now I want you to stand up because you got benefits here. Amen. Now, if you've got sickness in your body, I want you to lay your hand on it right now. Now, I want you to know something. Jesus did not pray for sickness to leave. He rebuked it. See, we're believing a lie. Lord, please heal me. No, I am already healed in Jesus' name. It's already been provided for me. It is my benefit. It is my right for healing. It is not my benefit for any sickness to be in my body. And it has to go. So I want you to lay your hand on wherever that sickness is, whatever it is. And I want you to say, I rebuke this sickness and any spirit of infirmity. It must go. Now listen, y'all act like you're talking to like, you know, come on, speak to it. This spirit of infirmity and any sickness must go in Jesus' name. It has no right to my body because I'm healed. Hallelujah. Now you start thanking God, and I want you to start doing something you couldn't do before, right now. Come on, keep praising God. It's not just a 2-second. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Aha, I want you to put your hand on your belly if you're believing for pregnancy, because I've been having this all morning. I speak to that womb to open up in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Ha! Any womb that has been barren, no, bring forth life in Jesus' name. I speak to knees. You've been told you have arthritis in your knees? No. I curse that arthritis right now in Jesus' name. It cannot be in your knees in Jesus' name. You got arthritis in your back? Same thing. Put your hand on your back. I curse that arthritis right now in Jesus' name. Back, line up. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Woo! Hallelujah. 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 There are some of you in here that need to repent from the lie that you've just received things that aren't of God. Something is stirring in you that you're like, you know, I haven't heard this before. Or I think, and if you're feeling condemnation, I break that right now. There's no condemnation. I'm just giving you truth of what the word says. And if it's hard for you to receive, it's because there's a lie there. Because the Bible says that he heals all your diseases. By his stripes, you were healed. Sickness is not your lot. Defeat is not your lot. All you have to do is say, Lord, forgive me for believing the lie that this was for me. I don't receive it. I don't link up with this in Jesus' name. Some of you, I feel like, are saying, you know, the Lord spoke to me to do something a while ago, and I didn't do it out of fear. But now I see. I missed it. You know what? All you got to do is repent. You just repent, and you give it to the Lord and say, Lord, I will do it. It's not too late. I hear the Lord saying, it's not too late. It's not too late. Hallelujah. 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 See, I see a room full of overcomers. Ha ha, I see a room full of on fire, Holy Ghost saints that are going to change this area as you go out. I see a room full of confident believers that are walking in victory, that are not taking any defeat and not taking any flack from the enemy, that they are marching onward to what God has called them to do. That's who you are. You're not defeated. You're not beneath. You're not just mediocre. You're the head and not the tail. Hallelujah. Yes. That's who you are.
Amen.
Whoo! If you're like, I want that. That's who I want to be. Well, if you already know Jesus, you already got it. If you don't know the Lord, it's available to you right now. All you have to do is just pray and you say out loud, Dear Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Thank you that you died for me and that you rose again for me. Thank you that you're coming back again for me. I receive all that you have for me right now. I declare you as my Lord and Savior. I am saved and I'm on my way to heaven. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. And if you prayed that prayer for the first time, let us know. We want to send you a gift. We want to pray with you, believe with you, and I'm going to take it a step further. Thank you, Lord, that you baptized me right now in the Holy Ghost. Thank you, Lord, for your power to come upon me, to fill me from the top of my head to the soles of my feet. Thank you, Lord, that you baptized me now in the Holy Ghost, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Thank you for joining us online. Come visit us. We have service tonight at 6:30. Don't miss out. It's going to be awesome. For those of you that are still here, if there's something that you need prayer for, I want you to come forward. I tell you, I do see you stepping deeper. I see greater. I see breakthrough happening. I see you making a decision not to just settle. You're not settling for what the world says you should settle for. You're saying, Lord, I want all that you have for me, and I will walk in all your benefits in the mighty name of Jesus. Just declare this with me, Lord. I receive all your benefits. I'm walking in all of it.
I'm not settling.
I'm going forward.
I'm not going to the left.
I'm not going to the right. And I'm definitely not going backwards. I'm running ahead
on this path
that you have for me. In Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to play this altar. I'm going to have Kelly play I Speak Jesus. It's the altar song I've got. because Jesus is what brings the change. Hallelujah, the breakthrough. You can worship to it if you want to. I just ask that if you're going to mingle, just go outside if you can, because the altar time here. So if you want to come forward, you don't even want me to pray for you. You just want to come forward to the altar. You can do that too. It's open for you. But if you need prayer, come forward and I'll pray for you. But I want you to see things differently this week and forget not his benefits and walk in them fully in the mighty name of Jesus. And if you have a testimony that when you laid hands on your body, you can do something you couldn't do before, I want you to come tell me about that too. Hallelujah. Yep, you can come right up here. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And you come forward, just worship for a little bit. I'll get back over there, pray for you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.